My high level, what's gone on in the last 18 months is quit my job, got divorced and started a company. And maybe I should have just gone to therapy. Not just us, but everyone in my network's been verging on burnout over the last 18 months. I think, like everyone, I don't know anyone who's gone, I'm great, I'm skippy, I'm happy the whole way through. I don't. That's not a reality at the moment.
Anyone. I feel like I do those lists of things that are highlights, but it's like the reality was also I was like, I had a really, really hard time in relationships because that's where my CPTSD is. And
oh
then
my God. It's the first time I've not been stressed in years. And I was like, oh, this is amazing. So I do nothing now. I want a career break and I am fun employed at the moment and it is brilliant. Welcome back, everyone, to, oh my God, the first episode of Pats Uncovered in a very long time. I think it's been a year, but we're going to call it season two and it's a whole new beginning because that is what life is at this stage. So, and I'm really, really excited because A, this is in person and oh my Lord, this hasn't happened in a very long time and I've got people in the room with me and I'm very excited, especially even like just right before we hit record. The energy being in person and the absolute giggles that we got because we were sitting in front of an actual setup and everything else like includes it. So I'm really, really excited to be able to do this. And we're in State Library Victoria, which they did ask for a shout out because they've got a lovely studio. And we are very, very thankful for this place to be sitting here and having these discussions. But, oh my God, we're back. And I've got two of my favorite guests that I've had on before, Gwenny and Gretch, right in front of me. And I'm like, oh, I'm so happy you guys are here.
We're glad to be here.
Oh, look this. Look, you both dressed up for the occasion in exactly the matching outfits, which has made my day.
We did not. I'd like everyone to know that we didn't know that our faces were going to be on camera.
That is true.
Great. But, oh my God, it has been, I think by the time this comes out, it'll have been an exact year since season one ended quite abruptly, I think. So I'm excited to catch up, especially with yourselves, because it's now been, I think about, we were just saying about a year and a half since the last time you actually got on the podcast. And a lot has happened. A lot. And I know especially for both of you, like you have done a lot in the meantime. So this is essentially a Pats Continued episode, which is perfect because it's a new beginning, but also continuing on the seasons. So, God, yeah, tell me, how has life been? Who wants to go first?
In 18 months, gosh, we just had a quick chat about this and it's terrifying how much changes. And I think my high level, what's gone on in the last 18 months is quit my job, got divorced and started a company. And maybe I should have just gone to therapy.
I mean, it's a very apt description. I'm not going to lie.
And to be fair, I have gone to therapy as well.
Maybe yeah, I was going to say, I feel like you're underselling yourself in terms of everything you've done so far.
I have been dismissive, but it's been a really challenging, but it's super amazing 18 months at the same time. I think leaving my job to do something I'm deeply passionate about, what more do you want, right?
Oh, yeah.
When you go to work with great people doing something that gives you or really aligns with your values and your purpose, it just makes every day a bit better. So no regrets. Life is good, but it is also hard. And I think it's worth us probably delving into that a tiny bit at some point. I know not just us, but everyone in my network's been verging on burnout over the last 18 months. I think, like everyone, I don't know anyone who's gone, I'm great. I'm skippy. I'm happy the whole way through. I don't. That's not a reality at the moment.
Yeah. I mean, I am burnt out. So this is absolutely perfect timing. Like, I'm fully burnt out. So this is great. I say as I'm literally kicking off the podcast again. But it is what it is. But I think, like, let's just dive in. Gretch, like, let's just go through. So the last time we talked, we were at Cloudflare. Been bought out by this big giant corp in your startup. Tell me how that all wrapped up. Where do we go next? July 2021. Take us back.
That was a while ago. And I think what a great journey in terms of startup and being acquired by a big company. There was so much learning that happened there. And it's a really great success story for a startup. But while I was there, there was a lot of different moving parts. So one of the things is working at a company that's international with distributed teams and just about no team in your country means you're a bit lonely. And disconnected, and I don't know anyone that does asynchronous communication very well across time zones. I did feel a bit alone, to be fair. And during that time, I was catching up with a lot of ex-students and mentees, and I'm deeply passionate about diverse people in technology, right? The underrepresented people don't come into the industry at the rates that are required, and they leave at twice the rate. So that's a passion piece for me. So during my time at Cloudflare, where I was feeling disconnected and a bit lonely and a bit lost, I was catching up with ex-students who were saying, tech's great, but I've had enough and I'm leaving the industry. To which I was going, what do you mean? I've worked so hard for you to be here. Stay. You owe me. But no, delved in a bit deeper, and there's really basic reasons about why people leave, and it's around unequal pay, lack of career progression, and perceived incompetence are the main triggers. And honestly, they're just rubbish. There's no reason for it, right? Like, it's easy. It's an easy solve. I say easy. Not at all easy. Very complex. But if you choose to make a difference in that space, you can. So that's what I did. I caught up with some other people in the industry that I know, and we started a company called Tech Diversity Lab, and we've built a product out called Collider. And really, it's so simple, I almost feel embarrassed saying it's a career growth framework that's delivered through a SaaS, you know, as a SaaS product. And the simplicity within it is that if you've got a framework that's carefully built and considered and rewards behaviours, technical and non-technical, then actually underrepresented people are promoted at the same rate of your typical tech bro, and you build high-performing teams. It's not rocket science.
I mean, it is a reality of, like, small, basic things work, and there's a reason that they succeed. Like, these are the things people are just not doing because they're so basic and are needed at a very high rate.
Oh, so needed. And I think a career growth framework, and I'm talking about particularly within technology roles, so software engineering roles, for example, they are very nuanced, and they need to be really specific about what skills are looked for and at what level they mean what. And if you don't know that as an organisation, feels risky to me, really. How do you actually know what's going on with your people? You don't know who's in your team. You don't know what skills you've got. You don't know what you should be looking for to hire. You don't know what you should be training. And probably your people are feeling a bit disengaged. A lot of organisations have built these out really well and really considered, and they've brought in consultants and made great pieces of work. But then they're implementing them through spreadsheets, which no one loves spreadsheets. And so they're not utilised in the way they should. And what we've seen and really enjoy with what we've built is that it's good not just for underrepresented people, but everyone in the team, because unless you were in the in-group in a lot of organisations, you didn't know the rules of engagement. You didn't know how to get a promotion. You didn't know what skills meant you would move up, or what skills you were lacking in, or where you could grow. So it's, I kind of see it as a win-win, and one of the most obviously simple things I've done in my life.
I mean, I got a preview of this literally an hour ago, and it is looking fabulous. Like, it looks so pretty now. Like, all the colours are pretty opt and everything, and everything makes sense, and the UI looks fabulous and smooth. Oh, I'm very excited to see where it's all going. Same. But how has that, like, process of the startup itself actually been for you? Like, and for context, where I don't know if you mentioned this already, like, it's three female vendors, like, talk to me.
We had our birthday yesterday, actually.
Did you?
Oh, yes. My God, it's been a year.
Collider is one, which is, yes, we celebrated.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. It's been a journey, and I think the typical roller coaster of a startup, everyone says you're going to have moments where you think you're saving the world and you are you are everything you need to be, and then half an hour later you're in the corner sobbing because nothing is working and you're drowning under everything. And you're also going to have moments where you build a product and you take it out to people and you are just a bit embarrassed because it's really ugly, which is why I can't just feedback now about our baby being pretty. We've finally got to that point. But it's been, three female technical founders. We've had some highs and some lows. The product build actually was the simplest part of this because we could do it in-house, and I've never seen pull requests go so smoothly, to be honest. It's the cohesion and respect for one another is next level. It's the product build has been the simplest part of this. Sales are really hard, really, really hard, and super hard in the market at the moment, but that is what it is. So we've hired a sales coach. She's a bit of a legend as well. She's helping us a lot in this space. Where we've had a bit of a, I don't know, it's a bit ironic, I guess. We're working really hard to stop the tech bro vibe existing in technology. And part of what we're doing is looking at VC funding and startup funding. So we've kind of gone from the space of toxicity going, we can fix this, and turned around and jumped into a pool of something even stickier and more toxic.
It's those stats that just came out for this year are so bad for VC funding.
I think it's in Australia, 0.4% of VC funding goes to an all-women startup.
It's gotten even lower than the year before, hasn't it? Like, those were the big ones I saw. It was like, it's gotten even less. Rather than even coming 1% more, it's gotten less. Like, 0.4, I don't know. I mean, where else is there left to go? But
it's an interesting piece because, you know, my background's more in maths and web development or software development. And a lot of time is spent with statistics. So I look at that and go, rationally, why would I even talk to these people or spend time here? But actually, by the same token, to build a company at the speed and the scale we want to be successful, we need to be talking to these people. So we'll see where we land with that. In saying that, the Victorian startup space is a really great space to be. There are so many supportive, encouraging groups around there and just genuinely good people in the space that it's fun and it's exciting, and I don't think I could be anywhere else. Funding-wise, we've reached out to a few people. We're doing a pre-seed raise, a bit of an angel round. And what I've learned is America is the way to go. We've talked to a lot of people here, but literally reached out to a few people in America whose response has been, love the problem you're solving, love the team you've got, I'm in.
That's all the talk.
It's really exciting, actually. Oh, I love that. We're about 33% of the way through our raise round.
Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. I love this.
Very exciting.
It's really exciting.
Gwenny,
yes,
looking
ma'am.
Towards you. I mean, we've got all the highs so far from Gwenny, or Gretch even. God, this is going to be me, isn't it? It's going to be me confusing Gwenny and Gretch the whole episode at this stage.
We've gone back to 2G.
Just call both G.
It's like, which G am I looking at? Just figure it out. But Gwenny, talk to me. You were in your first role as a software developer, sorry, cloud engineer even,
yeah.
Over at Kasna. And again, like, I know so much has changed in the time that we've last talked. And I'm very, very proud of everything you've actually achieved. And I'm so happy, like, sitting on the sidelines, clapping along. But talk to us. Tell us everything that's happened.
Ooh, the camera keeps going off. Yeah, I have a question to come back to Gretch with as well. If, you know, my memory lasts that long, who knows? I wrote a little bulletin list when you just had said before, we'll talk from July 21, and because I was just like, what has happened? And the first one's kind of depressing, but I'll share it. Or like, is it depressing? Is it empowering? So I kind of went backwards. Or maybe I'll go backwards. So now, what is it, March 2023? So I've been in my new role, which is principal engineer / DevOps coach, for about like 9-10 months, I think. Within that time, have had a raise as well, which was cool, that I didn't ask for. So that's also something.
Ooh, I like that.
I really like it. Yeah, I think it's one of the things I encourage women and underrepresented groups to look for, that kind of culture where it's, you know, pay people you want to stay what they're worth before they're thinking about leaving kind of vibe. That's always been really important to me. Early in my career in tech, I decided I didn't want to be negotiating for my worth. And so I've kind of had that experience since, which has been really, that's how I think it should be. So yeah, and I was in December last year, I was a Google developer expert for that year. And then that they asked me again to do that for a year. So it's a year and you get like, potentially they evaluate what you've done. And then may or may not ask you to continue. You know that probably it's probably similar with Microsoft.
Yep.
Akansha is a very talented Microsoft MVP, for those who don't know.
I just put in my own submissions again yesterday and I'm like, it's a process to get back into those things. But yeah.
Well, I had to track all of the speaking engagements and coaching and stuff I'd done. And we're lucky to have, for Google, there's a guy that reaches out with a lot of kind of high school and uni engagements, and I love working at that level.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's also really important in terms of them seeing a woman in that role and mm-hmm. in that area, given that DevOps tends to have even less representation than software. So yeah, that was cool. And it was kind of cool looking back. I'd done talks in like so many different places, like Tunisia, because it was still locked down. So these were all virtual, but Tunisia, Florida, I think Florida Keys or something. I don't know if that's Florida. Thunder Bay in Canada. All these places I was looking up, I'm like, where are they?
So can you tell Pretoria. These are remote? I love this. Yeah.
Pretoria in South Africa, Malaysia. My kind of first really technical talk was when I first became a GD in December 21. And then in November last year, that same group asked if I would actually fly over because Google had opened up funding to like pay for speakers to travel within APAC. And yeah, so I'd flown over to Malaysia and I was like, oh, I'm like a global speaker. So that was cool. I did some, you asked us to cover personal as well. So yes, I also have in my notes, I did my first trip to New Zealand. Good and place. I work for, yes, Gretch's homeland. But also the company I work for's homeland. And so it was really nice to visit Wellington. And I went to a cloud conference there that was really cool. And I did like the Latin dancing. So I'd started Latin dancing last year as well. And so that was my first social dancing like overseas, which was really cool. In September, I did a Bali dance trip. I don't know if you remember. Like,
I remember the videos. It looked so good. I was like, oh, this person I know who does dancing globally now.
Anyone can do it. Highly encourage if anyone wants to kind of have a way to move their body. And it's like quite structured. So it's it's not on the social dance floor, but in your lessons it is. So I do bachata and salsa for anyone that's out there that does it and wants to invite me to a social dance sometime. And then, changed jobs in April 2022. So that was the principal engineer DevOps role. Before that was a cloud engineer with a Google like consultancy. But the thing I started with was actually in November of 21. I started doing like therapy for like CPTSD and like codependency. I'd like forgotten. And I'm like, not that I'm, I don't know, I feel like so much more level all of the time now. Learning to regulate my nervous system, learning what trauma responses were, what triggers were, things like that. So I just thought I'd mention that just for anyone. I feel like I do those lists of things that are highlights, but it's like the reality was also I was like, I had a really, really hard time in relationships because that's where my CPTSD is. And then like, yeah, this is where your rating's going to have to come in. It's kind of like a head fuck to get out of that kind of thing. And so, yeah, I've been like learning also what lots of courses on like what healthy relationships are and what that looks like. So, yeah, I've had like combination of professional and romantic learnings.
Oh, I love this. I love the full scale that we're covering. But like, I am so thankful that you went through that therapy because that therapy has helped me. Like,
really?
Yes. Oh my God. Every time, like the amount of times. So for context, for most people listening, I feel like I don't think I've ever really called people in tears by the two of you. You've both dealt with a lot of tearful calls in the last like year or two in the context of like lockdown. There was just so much going on. And it was like, every time I would, you were like, no, this is what's happening. This is mentally what's happening. This is the nervous system stuff really makes such a difference. And for anyone that's listening, like, even if things were a little bit weird, my go get therapy. It is life-changingly great. Like, as in, Gwenny was my therapist before I actually got a therapist. So that was really helpful.
I think we should totally normalize it.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I talk about it all the time now. And I'm so like, it's so important. Like, just go get a therapist.
It's hilarious. Oh, forgot the one. Got my motorcycle learners.
I forgot you've done that. Like, I swear I forget every time you talk about this.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't that long ago. It was January, mid-January.
Oh.
So have been learning to motorcycle ride too. Not super successfully because I fell at the top of a hill last week and I'm not allowed to ride it until they check it out. is that I was able to lift it off the ground because apparently a lot of women can't lift. I'm in these like motorcycle groups and it's a 192 kilo bike. You're not like lifting that because it's like a lever. But I was like, oh, fuck, what am I going to do? Because I was kind of lifting it and it was like falling back down the hill. But anyway, I finally managed it. That's good to know.
Oh, I mean, it's all the little achievements. I've
completely forgotten where I was going with anything because I didn't expect that. Oh, there are some great photos of you with your leathers and the bike, though. This is
not leather.
Oh,
they thought I was a weirdo because I required vegan products. I think that shop thinks I'm an absolute weirdo. I was like, I don't want leather. I want like something vegan. And he was like, pleather? Yeah, okay. Yeah, there's like microfiber stuff, but it's like not as good as the leather stuff apparently. But I'm like, I don't want to wear like an animal skin on me. Like, so yeah. Oh, funny.
I feel like the three of us could just go off topic in any direction for a really long period of time.
Which, I mean, yeah, I was kind of looking forward to it, I'm not gonna lie. I was saying this when we sat down. They're like, so what's the plan? I'm like, I don't have one.
It should be like emotional roller coasters uncovered.
It's like there isn't, like, usually there's like a timeline that we go through, but like, because it's like a different episode that I'm just like, no, we talk about whatever comes up and it's that's what's gonna happen. I've just decided this is it.
Well, but you know where we're at now.
Can I ask a question?
Yes, ma'am.
Where do you two want to be by the end of 2023?
Riding my motorcycle without falling over. Like, able to do hill starts. No, seriously, that's a goal.
Yep.
Traveling internationally and speaking and dancing. And more closer to financially free. Because at the moment I'm more on the, like, debt side. People always ask me, like, oh, well, is it time for you to buy property? I'm like, yeah, maybe want to learn how to manage my money, like, in like years. But, you know, miracles happen and we can change our lives. We co-create our realities. So,
you plan, yeah, that's this one stuff. I love it.
Oh, yeah.
You're really conscious.
Yeah.
Consciously even just saying what you kind of want to see happen, like, it makes such a difference. Like, you think about it all the time in the back of your brain. You start working towards it.
Yeah, or you at least are open to that possibility, which I don't think I was until kind of recently, to be honest. I don't think I saw that for myself, but now I'm like, no, I can create that. Like, why not?
So
what about for you?
Well, I'm thinking, I threw that question out there with no answer for myself. And as you're talking, I'm seeing this Kanban board of, like, personal life, financial life, spiritual life. Like, I feel like you've planned this game. My game plan, by the end of the year, I would love Collider to have self-sustaining revenue and probably about 10 employees, I think, would sit us at a nice spot for the growth path we're on. I want my kids to be, I would like one of them to move out of home. And say, she'll be 23 by then, so I think that's a fair ask. I want my kids to be content and enjoying the things they're doing. I would like to be dating in a conscious way. So I need to put some thought into what that might look and feel like. And I think I'd like to do a bit more martial arts again. I've dropped it off.
I love you.
COVID changed it, and then it never has quite got back to the cadence I liked, so I need to do that more.
I like that.
Yeah, all those sound really good.
I mean, seeing as I'm age 26,
move out 26. Of home, can't you?
I hear it. Okay, give me a break. I want a career break. I'm allowed to be at home right now.
I'm gonna say, given today's climate, stay at home.
Yeah, like, it's a cost of living crisis.
Do you know what? I'm quite, it's a funny thing, because in New Zealand you leave home at 18. It is very much
same.
What you do.
Same here, usually, right? I mean, Queensland, I think, anyway, yeah.
Which is where I think it's been a weird, interesting intersect of, like, I did it. I lived in college on my own, which was like the whole night, like, on the other side of the world from a family and stuff. And then I got back and I was like, oh, it's kind of nice being at home now.
But it's so weird.
And then lockdown happened. Now I'm still here. And I'm like, this needs to change. But also, like, the timing is kind of okay.
I feel like it's okay.
It's a funny piece, though, in that I very consciously parented to have independent beings by 18 that could go and be useful in society and self-sustaining. And it's just really surprising just to have them there. But also really lovely. And you do have to change expectations, which I haven't done particularly well. That's just on me. I'm still doing too much of the cooking and the cleaning.
Fair.
What are your goals, Akansha?
Oh, what are my goals? Actually, let me take a step back and, like, what did I do over the last, like, year since I've been not doing the podcast? A lot changed, I think, for me. When I got COVID, I was like, I realized it all went back to COVID for me.
When was that?
March last year. So yeah, literally exactly a year ago. Because I got COVID, and then the brain fog and the fatigue lasted for me for, like, 3 to 4 weeks, if not longer. I can't even remember timelines now. But
I thought you were going to say months.
I mean, probably was. Like, I think it just all kind of pushed through because I was so tired. I couldn't go to the gym. And then that always is a spiral for me where routines start breaking down. And we were kind of
as well.
Still in a lockdown, but not really. Everything was weird last year, I think.
And you weren't, just to interrupt, because we went back to July 21. And I think it's only fair that you also pull your heart out. You went through a lot even before March, like in July 21 to March.
Yeah, I mean, oh, that
you
was like a real
company weird stuff. Lockdowns. Yeah. Like
I left a role fairly soon into stepping into it because it wasn't a good fit, and then it was like, okay, well, I got to find another role that is a good fit, and then I think I've now since left that role too. Which I mean, it was. I was so conscious of making sure I ticked all of my boxes of like, no, I've done my research. I'm not going to fall into the same trap of like, no, I was hoodwinked and now I got in and it's not what I thought it would be. And now I'm like regretting every decision. But it was great. Like, I mean, it went really well for the first 6 odd months, I think. And then everything else in my life started going up a bit downhill, which was the COVID stuff. And then it was like that spiraled into, I think at that time, I think I called it seasonal depression, but I think it was just depression, to be honest. I was just not great.
I think there's a piece around our lockdowns was so significant, and there's almost like a collective trauma that everyone around us was feeling that plays back to you.
No one talks about it in Melbourne. We're all very broken.
I think not everyone though. Like again, yes. We've had this conversation.
Yeah.
But like for me, the lockdowns were amazing. Not like having the privilege of saying that.
Yeah.
But I saw people like you and my best friend, just like the toll on your mental health. It was like visible.
It was, I mean, 2021, I think it really hit, but also it was like a sustained level at that stage after 2020 that like I didn't even notice it. Yeah. It was just like, I mean, it is what it is. And I like didn't think twice about it because I was busy doing all the other things and it was distracting. And then I think it got to like winter last year, which again, for people not in Australia, like March and May, June months of the year, which is summer everywhere else. But it got there and it got really bad. I didn't get it. Like I'm saying, like I didn't get out of bed, couldn't get out of bed, couldn't get myself to do anything. And it just took so long. And I remember at one stage, this was like a very like, a little blip of happiness. I still remember this. It was like, Dad, I think I'd been saying it to him. We were going to go get pizza or something the night before. He's like, no, come with me. We'll just go pick up pizza together. I'm like, I don't want to go anywhere. And we were talking. And I'm like, I think he was kind of piling on a bit. I'm not going to lie. He was like, oh, like, have you done this? Have you done this? Have you done this? Like, all the, I'm like, you don't understand how much I cannot hear this right now. Like, don't talk to me about this stuff. Like, I can. He's like, just go to the gym. And I'm like, if I could, I would. Like, as in, you say this so flippantly. But like, the next morning, he's like, look, I don't care what you do. Just go in the morning, sit there for 10 minutes and come back. Like, I don't care. Just go. Like, get, like, you have to just get there. And the man doesn't go to the gym in the mornings. Like, he can't. Like, he went once and he kind of like didn't do well in the morning because he didn't eat anything before. And he's like, it's kind of become a thing in his head where he's like, he doesn't go since. But that morning, he was like, he came into my room, it was like 7 o'clock, knocked on my door, was like, let's go. Like, we're going to go to the gym. Like, and he came with me. I mean, I
was thinking that was really sweet, and Granny's face is like how cool.
That's not sweet. Before 9 a.m., that's offensive.
I prefer a gym in the morning, I think. It's easy to get out of the way rather than lying in bed for me, I think. So he did, and he came with me, like he did a run with me, and like, oh, it made such a difference of like kind of having someone else to go to. Didn't come again, don't get me wrong, but like, it was a little bit of a highlight. But yeah, I think all of this was happening at the same time, and then work became different where I think feedback, and like feedback is so important, and yes. I never got any feedback. So I started going on that spiral of like, I don't know what I'm doing. Is it ever good enough? Therefore, I must do more because no one is saying anything.
Growth framework.
I do. I did need it. And I think we talked about it then. I was like, we really need some feedback format or framework, something. We didn't have it. And then I kept doing the, I don't think I'm doing enough because no one's telling me I'm doing enough or not doing enough. And there was no context of where I was at. So constantly felt like I was never doing anything enough. And I was working ridiculously overtime. Like at that stage, I think I was doing way more hours and stuff, stopping doing everything else like this podcast. Like I was just like, I don't have time because I have to go do more work that I'm not succeeding at in my head, whether or not I was, but I didn't know if I was because no one said anything. It was a really bad spiral. But I think it kind of all came to a head by the time I got to September, and I was like, the depression, the absolute like burnout I'd ran myself into.
To be fair, you've been somewhat corralled into it as well.
Yeah, I actually don't remember that exactly the same. I remember you talking about it and it sounded like you were trying to have those conversations about feedback. Mm. You were asking explicitly for feedback multiple times and getting answers.
I mean, the answers were like, oh, you're doing grand. Like, or I remember, was it a HR person at one stage was like, oh, I've heard your name come up so many times. You're doing great. And I'm like, but that doesn't do anything. Like, okay, yeah. Great. My name has been mentioned. Amazing. What? Like, that doesn't help me in any way or format. Like, yeah. And I mean, there was parts of it that were great, but then there was other parts like that, which just made everything else so much harder than it probably could have been. And I think it was a new role that was kind of built, and I mean, everything looked great and everything was building up perfectly. Yeah,
and that could have gone another way.
Oh, it could have gone so much differently. Yeah. Like everything that went through, and I was like, oh, well. So come September, I was just like, okay, well, I mean, I can't keep going like this. And I quit. Oh, I still remember the day I quit. It was gorgeous. And we went for tacos after.
Tacos make everything a bit better.
My friends had just moved over from Ireland and I was like, it is time for tacos. Here is an unlimited tacos place. Let's go. But yeah, I quit my job. I had a family wedding to go to in December. And I was like, well, if I'm going in December, I might as well go a bit earlier. So ended up spending like 6 weeks in India and it was great. The first time I was like, that was great. Like, sorry, India's never a holiday to me. I feel like I've said this before to other people, but like India's like a job. Like going to India is like an actual, like, here's a calendar. These are the people you need to meet. These are the emotions you need to hit. Like these are the conversations you need to have. But it was absolutely fantastic. Actually being at home, getting to see my grandparents for the first time in like 4 or 5 years now. Like getting their life stories. All the details of like back in the 60s. My granddad was in a war. Like I knew he was in the army. Didn't even realize he was in the war. I'm like, oh, that happened in India? Okay, great, cool. Should have known more. Okay. Like he's won awards and stuff like from like the president. And I'm like, huh? And he brought it out to us. And I was like, what the hell? Why do we not know? Why do we not talk about this? So this is me talking about it to like the rest of the world, basically. But no, I came back and then I was like, oh, I'll take a break for another little bit. And then I was like, oh my God, it's the first time I've not been stressed in years. And I was like, oh, this is amazing. So I do nothing now. I want a career break and I am fun employed at the moment and it is brilliant. But kind of coming back to your question, which was a very long turnaround to get to that question. I have been a big believer of like the conscious planning and stuff, right? Like the way Gwenny, like I did that all the time. I would put out the whole manifestation stuff. I'd say random stuff. I'm like, I'm going to be an MVP by next year. And I'm like, I'd say it flippantly, but it would start happening because I'd start doing things about it. But I made a conscious decision this year to not do that. I'm like, I have no expectations of 2023. Whatever comes up, great. Nothing comes up, even better at this stage, I think. But I'm not limiting it down to anything, therefore blocking anything out is my vibe for the year, I think.
Like, I love this.
Whatever Willy Wally comes through, I'm like, this is what I'm doing.
I'm a huge proponent, and if you go back to the very first podcast we did together, of walking through open doors.
Yes.
And sometimes I think if you, well, actually, this generalizing, I know for me, if I have something really strongly planned, I've missed other opportunities before.
Yes. So
open doors, see what's around.
I mean, I was on the phone to my cousin in London and we came up with all these like wild plans. And I was like, yes, I'll come to London. We'll do all this stuff. And I'm like, well, I can do that. Yes. Like, maybe I will see you next time. I was like, and he was kind of just talking about it. I'm like, well, look, I've got two very loving cousins in London with two houses and two spare bedrooms. So I will pay rent, but I will cook for you guys. I can do that.
I've got a 23-year-old to take.
Like, yep, here for more kind of just cohabiting with other people at the moment. But career breaking, therefore no employment requires that at the moment.
When was this for? In London?
I don't know. Might happen this time. Might happen next month. Might happen. Never.
She's off next week.
I like it.
I mean, part of me was like, maybe I will just go tomorrow. And then I was like, wait, no, I think I've got things to wrap up here before I just randomly get on a flight.
I support you randomly getting on a flight.
I mean, there's plans. I mean, there's friends of mine who, actually, Julia, who's been on the podcast, people should go and listen to her episode because she did this really, really random cool trip through Japan. Like, she cycled through Japan. She's doing it again.
Oh, wow.
So I'm like, you're there for 3 months. I'm going to turn up at some stage and be there too. That worked out pretty well. So I think a lot of my year is very much what's happening around me and just kind of jumping on the bandwagon a bit. But
say yes to the good stuff.
Legit. And I'm like, oh, like it'll be what it'll be. It's fine.
I think it'll be your best year.
If it isn't, I'm at a level of like, I don't even care.
If it isn't, I'll plan again.
I'm like, next year we'll figure out things to do and it's fine. I'm like, I remember my mom was just like, I mean, so I'm like, what are we doing? And I'm like, nothing. And she's like, but yikes. Like, I've kind of gotten to a stage, like, not that I will. Like, I'm happy to, like, if I have to start from scratch next year, I'm quite okay with that fact, I think. I've realized that now.
What does start from scratch mean? Because you won't actually, in my mind, you'll never have to do that.
Agreed. And I wouldn't. But I think that's like mum's kind of worst case scenario in her brain, right? She's like, what if it's like nothing? What if you go through all your savings and all that? I'm like,
I've got you, mum.
I said that to my dad, my granddad. My granddad was like, you can't stop working now. And I'm like, well, you believe in the patriarchy. I've got a dad that works. It's fine.
I see what you did there.
It was a really enjoyable moment. I don't think he enjoyed it as much as I did, but. But, right, okay, so I think let's do a rapid fire round. This is something I'm bringing in for season two.
It sounds really fun. I'm in.
I'm really excited because I think I'm excited to see, because it'll be kind of the set questions I want to pose to most people. And these are just general life stuff. Please don't be, because I haven't shown them the questions yet. And I think Gretch is quite scared about this. Gretch is like not ready for this.
First quick round, how are you feeling about this?
Anxious. I pumped. Feel it in my body. I should go to therapy.
It's a sign that your nervous system is dysregulated. Yes.
See, this is what I mean. These were my perfect therapists right here. But no, and I kind of, everyone's going to have a really weirdly different perspective on this is my hope and thinking. And these
challenge accepted.
Exactly. And I mean, these were something I picked up on a different podcast, or like someone did something similar to this. I'm like, oh my God, I love hearing different responses to this. And it really like hits me. Right. So
can I just check first? Is it like a one word answer?
No. Or? So as long as short as you want to answer, if you want to pass and you don't want to answer it, I will not be offended. I'm sure there's a reason for it.
And that's
no passes.
No passes. No passes allowed.
I like the fact here. But yeah, as long as short as you want, going in as depth as you'd like. And so first question, what feels like the biggest secret to success for you in tech?
Oh, I've got this one.
Go.
Oh, it's a real swear word. Hang on. Now I've got to think about not swearing. The biggest secret to success in tech is mess up fast and early.
I think we know where the other version of that is.
And then go from there. The biggest mess up you can do can be fixed. Once you kind of make some peace with mistakes, life is so much easier. And always ask for help to get back out of those disasters you've put yourself in.
I mean, it makes sense coming from the person who's done multiple startups at this stage.
I'm great at falling over and getting back up.
I mean, I like it. Granny?
For me, it's a combination of being willing. Like, I have this question I ask myself, and I kind of talk to people I mentee as well about this. When I stepped into this role, on paper, I'm like, am I even appropriate for this role? You know what I mean? But I instead thought, I don't want to carry that energy with me. I'm going to ask myself instead, what if I'm exactly what they need? What if I'm the right person in the room just by being who I am? And that's also something that helped get me through boot camp, actually, when I felt stupid every day and cried every day. Like, I just thought, I think because I'm so different and I don't understand it easily, that will make me someone that will make the industry better, you know?
Yep.
So I kept kind of telling myself that. And the kind of flip side of that is having the environment of people that do give you that safe environment to grow. So that support, the kind of, it's like kind of permission, but also space and trust to find your own path, like to do things in your own way. Yeah, so that they're the two kind of biggest things for me, for sure. How about for you?
I think believing in yourself part, like it was what I went through the exact same thing. Because I mean, again, it was a very similar thing to you where it was like a real step up in terms of it. Like I was like managing consultant, like head of AI at this place. And I was like, oh my dear Lord. And I remember for the first, when did I start? November? So it was like first one, two, three, at least 3 months. I would genuinely go into a near panic attack anytime someone asked me about my background or my age. It freaked me out so much because I fully was like, I'm too young to do this and my experience is invalidated in terms of like how much I have or have not done enough to be in this role. And it freaked me. And then like, I don't know where the switch came, but I was like, oh no, I remember it was like a random client call that I was pulled into literally like a minute notice, which not great, but I was like, hey, we just need you to be in the room kind of a thing. And I joined it and like, the first time I didn't have sweats in a client meeting. Like every client meeting would kind of freak me out enough to be like, no, I'm nervous about what I'm going to. I was like, I'm here. I know what I'm talking about. Like, let's get on with it. And I was like, wait, no, I do belong in this role. I know what I'm doing. This makes sense. I know exactly what's happening. And I'm like kind of coming back to him. I'm like, no, I know what I do. I know what I'm good at. And I can capitalize on that enough to be like, I know, you want me there. You need me there. This makes sense. I believe, I think.
They were great answers because, in short, we all belong here in tech.
Exactly. Like, tech, it doesn't matter who you are and where you come from. Your background is making a goddamn difference to you being here.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. Look at you, Gretch. Wrapping it up for me.
I would have preferred if you sang We Belong.
We belong.
Okay, next question. Best and worst decision you've made in your career? / life. I'm not fussy. It's a very in-depth question.
I've got best. Mm. Best is definitely career changing into tech. Something I like would never have thought in a million years I would have done, coming from a completely non-technical background. Encourage all others to do the same. Worst decision, probably having, it was the job I was in before I started boot camp, and it was, I'd left the industry I was at, kind of the peak of my career in the education, international like education industry and in curriculum development space. I'd left that because it conflicted with my values. And in terms of the depression burnout, I was kind of like having that experience as well. I thought no company or industry is worth like my mental health or me compromising my values. And it's really exploitative, that international student industry. Mm. I think we spoke about that in our interview. So that was the first time I left a really high paying, on paper, amazing job. My family thought I was crazy. And I left Sydney, great decision, and came back to Melbourne. No offense to Sydney, beautiful, but not for me. Like the sun, the hills, the heat.
just like Brisbane.
No, it's like beautiful, but not like it's like, I like the cold, the dark, you know, just caves. But yeah, so I lost my train of thought. Whenever I think about Sydney, I get so stressed. I like lose what I'm thinking about. Oh God. Oh yeah. So I'd left the whole industry. And I had this very clear moment where I was like, I'm never going to again put myself in a position where I'm in a company or an industry that doesn't value me and that goes against my values. But I went into a role that was in a sexist, like really authoritative company. Like I think talked about this in the interview. They had like 130 cameras and they were family owned and they sort of watched the staff and they would replay videos of like staff doing something they didn't like. They had really high turnover, obviously. Someone had sent in an email chain some sexist joke and I'd been like, this isn't okay. Are you going to talk to them about it? And I got called in and got in trouble and then I got fired while on probation. So yeah, I think for me it was putting myself in that position because it was crushing. It was, although now facing a round of layoffs at the work I'm at, I have a lot of compassion for the people who that's the first time losing a job, because I've lost that job and I lost two jobs in COVID. So I feel like we're in a capitalist society. Like that's a company's responsibility, is to make money and to do that at any point. I feel like I'm seeing at the moment in my workplace a lot of people who haven't had that experience. And it felt so bad the first time. I was so ashamed. Like I remember I'm like, how am I going to tell my parents? I remember having to borrow rent off them. It was just like, it was crushing. And then that's how I started tech.
Yeah.
At that point. But yeah, so for me, it's putting myself in an environment where, like what I was saying before, is the most important thing. Putting yourself in an environment where you don't have that environment is for me like the biggest mistake, and I won't do it again.
How do you sense check for that?
I think it's a lot of things. For me, I usually have followed a company for a while first. I know that they've got like diversity initiatives, representation at different levels. I know probably multiple people that work there.
Yeah.
And that they're actually, like, I've heard stories. So this is like with Mantle Group, for example, when I started working there, I knew multiple people that had different experiences there that were really positive, and they did a lot of initiatives that were in line with my personal values, like hiring gender diverse trainees and training them up, giving them a pathway into the industry. Other really good initiatives as well. So yeah, for me, it's like a whole lot of, I guess, data points, you could call them, to check. And it's still something, I guess, you kind of, I don't know if any companies.
No. I mean, 100%. I've done it. I was burnt enough by it to be like, I did all my checks.
I checked and it was still bad. Is that
I mean,
saying?
I checked and then you go in, you're like, oh, these were checks I couldn't have even done. And now I see it in front of me and I'm like, well, okay, that's, And I think that was a big thing where I was like, no, okay, it's okay to leave. Like, that was my first. I was like, no, I felt so bad. I was like, oh my God, I've just started. And like,
how freeing is that though?
I was like, no, it's fine. Like, this isn't a good fit for me. Therefore, it's not actually a good fit for them. Like, if I'm not in a good place to be here, like, it's fine.
Oh, imagine normalizing that probation period as
both ways.
Both ways. This is not good for me. It's not good for you. Let's normalize being somewhere for 2.5 months and making a really good call.
Yeah. We had a guy do that. So, when I just after I started where I am, he was similar role to me, principal engineer, DevOps coach, and he wasn't sure if it would be like on the tools enough.
Yeah.
And it ended up not feeling right for him. And he had that conversation with my manager, who was super supportive. And he's gone back to his old company, actually. They kind of promoted him and brought him back. But they had, just the conversation from the start was like our manager saying he's not sure yet if this works for him. So we'll just see how it goes. And he made that kind of opening from the start.
Yeah.
And it's another thing. It's like good to see that happen in real life. So I've heard stories like that in interviews from people at good places as well. Like I remember one was this woman who'd gone through actually a really bad divorce. I'd said, how has the company shown that they support you as a person for your personal and professional growth? And this was just prior to COVID when I started there. And they were, incidentally, a company that didn't let go of any staff in COVID, which I think is another test we can look at now. Like, did they get rid of people? Like, to me, that's a red flag. And she said, I had a really bad divorce and they were extremely supportive all the way through. They told me to focus on, like, myself, my family, feeling okay. And whatever, like, that looked like for me was okay with them. And I was like, that's a really good sign. Mm. Yeah, and they kind of, there were other things like that.
I feel like I've got no good answers. So is this best and worst?
Yeah.
Yeah. Decision, right?
Decisions, yeah. Yeah.
In life?
Career, life, whichever one you want to.
Oh, I did career.
That's all right.
Oh, maybe I'll go. I mean,
life's different.
Let me go life. I think the best decision I've made in the last few years was getting divorced.
Getting divorced.
I love
the worst decision was starting the.
I think. Sorry, laughing at this. I think there's a piece around. If you're putting blame and fault aside, there's a piece when relationships can actually just stop serving you well, and it was at that point. So divorce has provided freedom, and just in terms of emotional labor, freedom. So that's one of the best decisions I've made. And in terms of bad life choices, I don't know which one to start on. what have I done? I think one of the things I've done, and we talked about it the first time we chatted at Cancer, was around, I was a teenage mother, which personally I was 19 when my daughter was born. I don't think it was a bad choice I made. I think society let me know very clearly that they thought it was a very poor choice I'd made.
Yeah.
Which is not the same thing at all. So I think I'm saying I've got no regrets and I've made some good choices.
Yeah, jokes on them. Yeah. You and like, Z are great.
Oh, exactly. Like, I'm very glad that was a thing. And I was going to say that. Like, I don't think there's necessarily a bad decision for me. I was talking about this recently. I'm like, I'm glad everything has happened the way it has. Like, don't get me wrong. I'm like, yes, life would have been easier if I didn't do that stupid thing in my life. And I'm like, wouldn't have had to suffer for like months because of it. That would have been great. But having done that, in hindsight, I'm glad I did that stupidity so I would never do it again. Like, I mean, I think the best decision for me was leaving Ireland, actually taking the job.
It works for me. I mean, we're really glad to hear.
We're pleased.
I mean, that was my career transition into tech, in fairness. But it's also just, I think I've talked about this. I'm like, I think Ireland is a very small place. Everyone knows everyone and stuff. And there's always...
Have you tried Melbourne?
Hilariously, Ireland's even smaller, like, as a country than the Melbourne city, which is bizarre. But, like, I think it did lead, I mean, I'm not saying every other Irish person would agree, but it always felt like you were constantly being watched for what you're doing or everything would be judged. And moving here, kind of having that fresh start of, like, literally nobody knowing me and therefore no one can judge me.
Did you make up a whole new persona then?
Are you even
cool with that? I love it, 100%. Like I said, things I wouldn't necessarily say or do. And I'm like, I don't care anymore. And like, judge away. Like, my friends who've now moved over from Ireland and stuff, I'm like, I don't know, this is what you get, guys. I don't know what you remember of me. This is what it is now. Sorry. But 100% the best. And then I think worst, I mean, that stands out to me is like not standing up for myself in a lot of scenarios in the last like couple of months, I think, where I'm like, I wish I had just said my piece rather than like not trying to burn bridges and things like that. Because I kind of have let people walk over me a little bit. I mean, this is when it was like the worst of the worst mental health part of it. Don't get me wrong. But I'm like.
So you're holding yourself to standards that were unattainable during that time and then punishing yourself for it?
A little. It's more like I regret.
Not familiar to you.
I feel seen.
Guilty.
I mean, yes, but this, I'm like, I don't regret it because I'm like, I've done that now and I don't think I'll let myself do that again. But yeah, it stands out a bit. I'm like, ugh. And my sister said that to me a lot. She's like, can you just like stand up for yourself for once? And I was like, I'm trying. Oh my God, give me a break.
What do you want from me?
A bit mean.
She did a lot, in fairness. This was just like the last straw. And I appreciate her saying it, I think. But yes, a little bit mean.
Siblings do a lot of level
they cut right in. They cut through it all. And you're like, okay, that was a little bit damning. Okay, I think, what have you valued less over time?
Money.
I think job titles. I'm doing what I like doing. Who cares what it's called?
This might be a weird one, but experience.
Oh yes.
Like I value it and it has value for sure. But I've also met so many people now that are in like coming in to technology and what I valued, you know, as being technical. But then meeting people who were technical but had no aspirations to kind of go beyond a very limited skill set, which is okay, no judgment. But it, I don't know. I was just like, okay, so you can be experienced in years, but not be experienced in terms of
breadth.
Yeah. Or what you've learned.
Or if you've gone too too deep into one thing, like you lose out a lot of other collaborative skills and things like that. Like you start losing a lot of extra stuff.
I can understand that desire though in such a fast-paced changing environment to go, I know this one thing, I know it really well and I've got a sense of mastery and I'm tired.
Fair.
It's totally, I think it really suits some people.
I mean, I was saying this, I was like, literally the other day my friend was like, you are the most like the busiest unemployed person I've ever met. I'm like, and I'm like, it took me a minute to be like, well, I did all the same stuff while I had a full-time job in the past.
No wonder I was like, tired.
What? No wonder I was burnt out. Like, it makes sense now. And I was like, do you know what? Yeah. Like, people don't have to do all this stuff. And I think we need to normalize that a bit too. Like,
I wonder if we need a session on boundary setting.
Yes. I know I do. Well, this really is a side therapy session, but I mean, I didn't expect anything less, I think. Biggest current career insecurity. Ooh. I feel like this one's a bit too cutting.
Too close to home. We are a bootstrap startup. I did just say that money is the lowest on my value system, but also money is a big concern for a startup. Cash flow.
Fair.
Calling all angels.
For mine, it's tricky. It's a little bit still the technical thing for me, I think. Being in an engineering level where you're, like I work with a bunch of different teams, sometimes they'll escalate things to me and they're a lot more deep in the technical detail and I can't help, you know? Or like I try to help, but it's like probably what they've done and looked it up anyway. So that always is kind of it's kind of the flip side to me saying I've learned to value experience less, but at the same time, good experience or like meaningful experience is like priceless, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't have it in a lot of areas that I would like to. I still think you can make a difference, like a positive difference.
I agree.
But that's definitely like that's the kind of thing that would just stop me in my tracks if someone said something to me about it, you know?
Yeah.
I'd just be horrified.
Yeah. Yeah. I think,
little, are you technical enough?
Oh, hurts every time. I don't mind and this is, I mean, the career break, great, and it was needed. And oh my God, my life has changed so much because of no stress in it. Like the amount of stuff that has life-changingly just been cleared away in my life.
So but, good.
Oh, it's amazing. Oh my God.
I can see it in you too.
I am a different person.
Yeah.
It's bizarre. Even just 2 months has made such a difference. But I think having that career break, the whole fear of, especially with the current landscape of will I have a job to go back to which will actually afford me to be able to live?
You will.
I don't know. I mean, I'm
sure. You are hot property.
I mean, yeah, no one thinks. But I think that coupled up with everything that's happened in the last month with AI, ChatGPT is going to change the world. I've said this like 18 times in the last 2 days, I'm not going to lie, but it's just changing at such a rapid pace that it is a weird level of like, I don't know where I fit into all of it anymore. And I don't know what my job, that freaks me out.
No, I went away to South Star, which was this fabulous event held in Adelaide that combines or it connects VC funds and startup.
Did you have fun in Adelaide?
I had a great time in Adelaide. Thanks, team. But also decided I had a new job title. I was going to be a promptologist.
Promptologist, write prompts
for AI. Because that's a skill set.
But it is, though. I mean, if you think about the whole, like, a good software engineer is someone that can Google well. Like, that's a thing, right? And I'm like, this is going to become the new thing. Like, can you ChatGPT well, therefore do a really good job of whatever you're doing? Like,
promptology.
I like that. Maybe that is what my next role will be.
The vineyard opened the bar before this discussion.
Okay, two questions left. What do you not feel guilty about anymore?
My weight.
Oh, I love that.
Oh, I wish. I'm working on that one. Like, actively, I'm doing this. Just shout out embodied eating course with Amanda Hun, who is the most amazing non-diet dietitian.
Mm.
And all this stuff I, like, did not even realize is a thing. Like, I keep noticing. Like, we had a meal together. It was Indian. And I know, just great always job. One of my favorites. And I was just super stressed because I didn't want the vegetable korma. I wanted the curry with the potatoes, the aloo gobi or whatever it's called, potato and eggplant. But in my mind, I was like, no, I've got to have vegetables. I haven't had enough vegetables today. And I was like, just paralyzed with it. She's like, you know, you can have a meal without vegetables. And I swear my whole body went into a stress response. I was just like. And she's like. So just, I've got so many rules in my head about food and like weight that I didn't realize were even there. Mm-hmm. So yeah, actively working on it. All bodies are beautiful. But yeah, I don't know. Probably the experience thing again.
Yep.
Like it's just a weird relationship. I guess it's the reality is on paper or like in, if I analyze it objectively, I don't have the experience I like think is cool to have.
Yep.
But
if I came to you with that, what would you say?
Yeah. At the same time, I've chosen to look at what I can do with what I have, with where I'm at.
Yep.
And to make a positive difference wherever I am. And I think I'm doing that. So, yeah, it's kind of, I had to do a lot of emotional work around that. And also salary. Like, I had to do a lot of emotional work to kind of expect a higher salary and expect even more and value myself at that level. So, yeah, those kind of two things around valuing, I guess it's what the one thing, valuing myself and what I can bring, like being just my unique self.
Mm.
Yeah, how about you?
Taking a break.
Yeah.
I don't feel guilty about that anymore.
I salute you.
Oh, it was kind of always that like, what's next? What are you doing now? Like, what are you doing? There was a constant, what are you doing? And I'm like, oh, I'm doing nothing. I'm okay with saying that now.
And just being.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it was interesting though. Like the conference I was at, Serverless Days, a couple of weeks ago, first in-person conference back, spoke at it again. I was like, oh, I've forgotten how to do this in front of people now that I've done it in front of computers for so long. But it was fabulous. But I think what was interesting was people's responses to when you say, when they ask the, oh, but where are you working right now? Because they want to validate what you're saying and who you are because they need a title to validate that with. It happens all the time. And I'm like, it never bothered me before because I always had a good answer to it. Which, wow, very arrogant, but I love that. But it was, I mean, that was the truth. Like, it never made me bother myself with it. But the people who had taken a break in their lives before immediately were like, great decision, you're going to love it. Yeah. And the people who hadn't and didn't really understand it were immediately like, it was a real switch of like, oh, okay, well, you're really doing nothing. So that was an interesting time.
I love that for you because I think I experienced that a bit. You know, when you have children and you meet someone and you know and you have a value proposition within yourself and you know you're educated and competent and you can do these things and someone will say, hey, what do you do? What's your name? What do you do? And you go, my name's Gretchen. I'm at home with two amazing kids. And their eyes glaze over and they put you in the just really uninteresting, not useful people category over in a box. And it's cutting and your ego gets destroyed. But at the same time, I'm going to go back to it being freeing because you're not attached your job title anymore. You learn very brutally that it doesn't matter and it's transient and you can just be you. And if people judge and move away because of that, then so they're lost.
So be it.
Yeah, I was thinking, hearing you say that, you've got an even better answer now. Because your answer is you've kind of empowered yourself to a level that you are just able to fully support yourself where you're at.
Yeah.
To do what your body and your like soul needs you to do. To grow, to like, and to rest before like whatever you decide, wherever you flow next, like whether it's work or something like different, maybe you create a new way of being, you know?
I think that's leveled up.
She is 100% leveled
up. Living the dream.
I think I was laughing. Sorry, this is just brought back to my head when Gretchen, you said this earlier, where you're like, oh, why are you leaving tech? I worked so hard to get you here, right? And I remember a conversation where, like, in sobbing tears, I was like, I am done with tech. I'm leaving. I'm never coming back. Everything was up in flames. And you were like, I think this is just tears talking. We'll come back to this conversation later.
We'll table this.
And I mean, I'm glad. Like, I mean, I value that a lot more about myself now. But okay, last question. I love how rapid fire these really are. But like, this was the point. These were just kind of pointers to get a conversation going, I guess. But when did you first feel successful and what does that word mean to you?
I'm still getting there.
Which is, that could be the answer.
And I'm okay with it, to be honest. I don't think I'll ever be done, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I'm happy carrying on to some somewhat obtainable something, even if that is a promptologist.
Sounds like a trauma response to me.
fair point.
No, I'm kidding.
Anything specific that success means to you?
Freedom. So financial freedom, emotional freedom. Freedom would be success, right? And there's, I'm so aware in all this dialogue we've had that we have all been talking about freedom and spaces we've created for ourselves, but that does come from a place of privilege.
Yep.
Because we are very privileged.
Extremely.
And working in tech has set us up for that even more. So, just call out to privilege.
Oh, 100%. I mean, I think about it constantly, taking a break at 26 years old and being like, I'm not going to do anything for a year. I get that.
Yeah, it's like, was I ever successful or was I just privileged? It'll keep us awake at night. It'll be thinking about that.
That's
too
our
much.
Next trauma to delve into and torment ourselves.
Oh, hilarious. First success, like, as in going back for ages or like in specifically tech?
I don't mind whichever one.
I can't. Like, the first thought that came to mind was when I was a child and I quit ballet. I don't know how old success. I was.
That is a solid success.
I think ballet is so beautiful. Like, I cry every time I see it. And now I'm like, Pasquini, you dick, why didn't you like you doing ballet? I might be a little too, like, I don't know if I'm the body kind of type for it, but yeah, I love ballet. So, but in career, it just getting through, like getting into technology.
Yeah.
From the moment I did it, it just, I was like, this is where I want to be for now. It's just like such a great industry. I feel like it will be at the forefront of solving all of the world's really complex, like socio-technical problems. And we just need more women in there. And I feel like I heard women say, like, that is a possibility for you. And then so just doing that was really, yeah, that felt like a success for me.
I love that.
Can I skip back to me?
Yeah.
One of the things I get the most joy out of is when I hear from someone who I was even just the tiniest bit involved with, of having them move into technology, particularly underrepresented people, when they just have a throwaway comment about, oh, I'm glad you said that thing to me, or I'm really glad you're in the industry because it's made it a better place for me to come and be. I think that's the feel-good successes along the way, right?
Oh, yeah. I think I've mentored a few people over the last couple of years, and people say that, like, oh, Concha, like, that helps. And, like, what I've actually started doing is going back over my own life and thinking about the people who've said the words to me, to be like, no, you need to hear this because it feels great to hear it from me. Therefore, you also. I remember it was one of the managers I had back when I was in third year college at an internship. And she was great. Like, she would make herself, like, whenever I'd have questions, like, she was the one she'd give me things to do. And I'd be like, okay, well, I've got a few questions. And she'd be like, you'll give me 5 minutes. I just need to finish this thing off. And then would literally put everything else away, turn around and be like, okay, I've got time. Like, give me your questions and we will go through it. Like, she made the time.
Who is this woman? Can we thank her?
Oh, Ailish Galvin. Like, I will shout about her to the end of the world. She just was such a good manager. And right before I actually wrapped up on that project, she, I can't remember if she was the one who was like, here, I've got some feedback, or I asked for feedback. I can't remember which way it went. I have a feeling it was kind of both ways. But she sat down and was like, I think you're going to do great. I think you're going to do such good stuff. You are smart. You're going to go so far. I just want you to know this isn't it. And there is so much more. And I remember her talking about, like, and this was such a, oh my God, wow. This is me connecting like absolute dots here now. I'm sorry. But I remember her, she had, it was an Irish thing. Like, she came and worked in Australia and blah, 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 and then moved back. Every Irish does this, I think. But she was talking about how, like, she had, like, signing bonuses that were big enough to buy her parents cars and, like, a whole, like, there's a whole different level of success that exists. And she's like, you will achieve it. Like, you're going to do great. Like, it was just so validating. And I was like, oh my God, I can do that kind of stuff. And college was a weird time where I was like, I went from being a very big fish in a small pond to a very, very tiny fish in a very giant lake. It was a wild time. But, and I never really felt like that in college where I was like, yeah, look, I was good at what I was doing, but also I was like nowhere near anywhere like around the people I was with. But when she said that, I was like, oh, maybe I can. Like, this is amazing. But like the things, like, she really did set me up really, really well. And I was like, 15-minute conversation from her, right? Like, that's,
and it
all
changed your life,
it
right?
Changed my life. And I sent her a message being like, hey, I don't even know if you remember me, like, it's completely fair if you don't, but like, just letting you know. And she was like, oh my God, thank you. So like, and she was like, oh, this is such a wild like message to see and stuff. But I'm like, make an effort. I'm like, if that's one thing people tell, I'm like, just hit up that person that like randomly made an impact with like two words on your life. Go message that person. It'll make their day.
Totally.
Everyone needs that right now.
Do you know what I'm taking from this? Like, a lot of our conversation kept coming back to the piece around, we belong here.
Yeah.
In this industry.
We belong.
Oh, actually, I think that's a pretty good note to pull this together on. I'm not going to lie. Like, this was a great conversation. Oh,
hang on. I can't reach. The phone in my face.
Love you both. You're both amazing.
Okay. Sorry, we were trying to do, like, for people on the audio being like, well, what is going on?
We touched hands.
It was hard.
There's a lot of wires here. I'm not online today. But no, and I mean, look, the whole point behind the podcast was kind of talking not just about like, here's the tech and I did one job to another and then I kept going up and up and up and it was great. But all the other stuff that happens in life, which really has a big impact on everything else that happens. So I'm kind of glad it was a little bit all over the place compared to most other episodes that we've had, which are very kind of one thing after the other. But I like that. Like, I'm so glad that you came and shared your opinions and made it an easy place for me to share mine too, which is very important. Thank you for creating a safe space for me, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Oh, you were my first people to go to for bringing back the whole thing again. Like, I'm very excited for season two, especially with the new questions and stuff coming up and hopefully more in-person stuff like this because the laughs have been great.
It's been a stand-up comedy.
Well, we'll wrap it up there. And we will be back again for the next episode of Pats and Covered at some stage soon.